Blog Talk Radio.
The Grind.
It's The Grind
with Nathan McCray.
There's just no way you can get enough of me. Yo, Mr. Big Star.
Giving real insight needed daily. Call 657-383-1291. That's 657-383-1291. It's blogtalkradio.com, The Grind 101. Join your host, Nathan McCray, 8 a.m. Eastern, every Tuesday through Thursday, for an unscripted conversation. It's The Grind, 657-383-1291.
All right.
We have that
Yes, guys, it's gonna shine like a diamond. We'll be right back, y'all.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
Man, if you haven't dialed in, man, dial in to 657-383-1291, and you can be live right here on The Grind. Man, let everybody hear your lovely voice this morning. Let everybody hear your handsome voice for the fellas. Man, dial in live, 657-383-1291, man, and you'll be a part of the realest show ever, the live, man, here on Facebook Live and on Blog Talk Radio. For those of you that only have your computer, go to blogtalkradio.com/thegrind101, man. We had to get reconnected on Facebook Live because it stopped on me, and that's just what it does sometimes, guys. Technology is technology. But, man, what are we going to talk about this morning? What are we going to talk about? I got something that is just all-encompassing that I want to talk about, but I think I'm going to jump from here to there today, man. For anybody that's coming on, man, share this out. Share this out. Let everybody know that The Grind is on. We're going to talk about some stuff that's going to step on some toes. This morning, we're going to talk about some stuff that's going to make somebody mad. It's going to make somebody cry. It's going to make somebody sad. It's going to make somebody happy. It is what it is, because here's one thing that I learned. I learned that sometimes, man, tough love is tough. Tough love is not always. Let me not say tough love. Let me say the truth. Always speaking truth is hard, man, because it puts you in a category of people that people want to just tiptoe around. They don't want to show you who they really are sometimes, because they know that you're going to tell them the truth. They don't want to be associated with you that much because they know you're going to tell them. And there's an old saying that I remember. The old saying is the truth hurts. And man, the truth actually does hurt. When people get truth, it's like getting that inoculation, or getting that needle in your arm, or getting that one where you get the 12 different needles and they just poof, pop you in the arm, you feel it, and the truth hurts. And a lot of people don't want to be told the truth. That's what I found out. A lot of people just really don't want to be told the truth. They just want to live in the world that they're in, just walk around doing what they're doing and thinking that everybody else is cool with what they're doing. But I believe that we're living in a society where everybody lies to everybody. Everybody, you know, because if you tell everybody the truth about anything, man, I get it. It's gonna be a rough go for you, because we're fallible, right? We're all fallible, and we tend to slip into the moments where we judge other people, some more than others, but we do tend to slip into those moments. And when you slip into those moments is when you start judging other people and where they are. Man, I'm gonna tell you, I took a deep dive into social media the other day. And I just kind of like drilled down and kept looking at different things. And when you get in it, you know, you start looking at different things and different people, how they function. And you go to their page and you start going to people's pages and seeing these people's lives and things of that nature. Hey, what's going on, baby? I see you out there, Ms. Pam. Thank you for jumping on The Grind. So you see different things about people. And this is what I call this is my deep dive, man. Great. Because I don't like to believe I have an analytical mind. I just like to believe that I have a mind that functions from being informed. Or I just like to. I don't necessarily have to know how everything works. I just want to figure out the solution for it. If something's not working, I want to figure out why it's not working. If something's working good, I want to figure out why it didn't work good. Right? Because I want to get to the root cause, the Band-Aid, and I want to get past the Band-Aid. I want to get down through the neosporin and see what's happening in there. That's just me. I'm kind of inquisitive like that. But I don't talk about it. I just listen and I look and I learn. And I put up a post the other day and it said, when somebody shows you that they're full of, you know, like my is old, but I like the shirt. Anyway, when somebody shows you that they're full of ish, then you got to just right? Believe them. And anything that happens after that is your fault. That's on you. If you keep on believing them and believing them, and they telling you over and over and over again through their actions that they're full of issues, then anything that happens after that, man, that's on you. If you can't figure out that this person is just leading me on, or this person keeps saying they're going to do this, they keep saying they're going to do that, and they never do, and you keep staying there hoping that they do, then that's on you. So it's your world, right? So here's what I found out. I found out that a lot of people live lives that aren't really their lives. And I would say that it's okay, but I would say that I would say before I say it's okay, I would say I get it that sometimes it's necessary for you not to show people everything, every aspect of who you are, right? Every aspect of how you function right off the cuff. I believe you guys know me. I believe in circles. I believe that you have a circle of people that know you. But nobody ever knows every little single intricate detail about people. It's kind of hard to do because they say everybody's got skeletons, everybody's got their own demons, everybody's got their own little right and what's wrong. So there's different variations of people's lives. But when I did that deep dive, man, I figured out that it wasn't really a place that I wanted to cultivate my life. Social media is necessary. Don't get me wrong. It's necessary because it's the way to reach, millions of people. Every day I look at some people that have millions of followers and they're like, it's not enough. There's always somebody that's got more followers than you, right? So it's a never-ending cycle. But social media is necessary. But looking at the fact that it's necessary, then you look at the fact that I have to exist over here and social media is kind of taking over everything that we do. People want to know what you're doing in life. People want to know what your day looks like. People don't even have to meet you these days, right? Coffee break. People don't even have to meet you in person these days. They call social media a relationship a real relationship. If you're my friend on Facebook, then we're friends in real life. God's the honest truth. That's what it is. We're friends. I know you. Yeah, you're my Facebook friend. Yeah, you're my friend on Facebook. That means more than being my friend in person. And for somebody like me, that's kind of struggling between old school and new school, I fight with that thing because I like tangible relationships. I like people that I can talk to on the phone. If I'm not talking to you on the phone, I believe there's a lot left to interpretation. I believe that you can say anything you want to say and it could be misconstrued. And I believe there's a lot of gray area in between there that we're seeing, and a lot of things are being misinterpreted. I mean, you can look at people on social media and they're doing bunch of different things, and you can spin off. One minute you're watching humor, the next minute you're watching people fight, the next minute you're watching people kiss and be very happy with each other, and the next minute you got people that are cuddling animals, people that are getting in cages with lions and hugging bears. And I mean, there's a vast cornucopia of stuff going on social media, and if you're not careful, you're all into it, and you look up, man, you 5 or 6 hours have passed and you're about to catch a seizure because you've been in social media land for so long, you're almost checked out. It's like you've almost left your physical body and you went into the computer, you went into the phone, and you don't know what's going on around you. And you look up, and next thing you know, you're like, man, what just happened? Where am I? It's like kind of like when you're driving. Remember, you're driving, and then all of a sudden, you look up and you say, oh, maybe it's just me, though. Maybe it just could just be. Let me just put it on me so some of y'all don't seem crazy. You look up and you say, okay, where am I? You've been driving the whole time, but you subconsciously you were thinking about something else. You weren't sleeping. You were thinking about something else, and then you were leaving just enough consciousness there to be able to drive. And that's happened to me. I don't know about you guys, so I'll own that by myself. If nobody else owns that, right? No problem. So, but you can get so deeply rooted into the thing that you do that you don't notice anything else around you. So what I was devising the other night is when I was going through social media doing my deep dive, and I devised that, I just don't want social media to define my life. I want to be able to give social media what I want to give it, but I also want to be able to have tangible move back a little bit, guys, so I can get out of that sun. Yeah. I also want to be able to have some tangible relationships with some people that that I can hug, people that I can shake their hands, people that I can, you know, give high fives, people that I can have conversations, verbal conversations with. And then that's just me. Some people, the new generation of people, they don't care if they drive. They don't care if they don't care if they actually talk to people physically. That's fine. I know that we evolve, guys, and I'm not judging anybody. What I'm trying to tell you is find your spot in it all and thrive, right? I believe that we're getting into a generation, and I'm not going to be that guy that just dogs everything. I'm like, I hate this. Young buck, you're doing this. This is where you got to do it. We used to do it like this. We walked 12 miles and we used to get to school and this and that. And people are looking at the kids, looking at you now like, why did you call an Uber? You know, why you had to go? Why you even had to go there? You could have just pulled that up online and ordered that and got that food sent to you. But we're trying to keep them in the Stone Age when they're trying to move into the 22nd, 23rd, 24th century. They're moving. They're looking ahead and they're being ingenuitive. They're looking. Their vision is you look at them. You say, okay, that person, they may not look the way you envision them looking, but that doesn't mean they're slow, right? It doesn't mean they're slow. So when you look at social media and how you find your spot in all of this, man, you have to find your spot in it enough so you don't get left behind. And here's what I came up with. Here's my conclusion. Coffee break. Here's my conclusion. I came up with how I want to be, okay? I don't want my circle to be full of people that are just engulfed by one thing. I want my circle to have people in it that know how to be, dynamic, that know how to be diverse. You know how to thrive in social media. You don't let it consume your entire day. You know how to create tangible relationships where the love goes both ways. I show love for you. You show love for me. I don't have to go on social media and look at your stuff and say, and then don't happen not to see something and not like it. All of a sudden you get mad at me. I don't want that kind of pressure. So if you're in my circle, then you're that person that says, I know that you're not sitting on social media every second of the day just watching your feed. That's not the relationship that we built. We built a relationship built on not just trust, but we built a relationship built on tangibility that creates that trust. We built a relationship on us that, you know, we can touch each other. We can talk to each other. You may be in another country, right? You may be in another state, but I want to be able to plan things. And me and Pam were talking about this the other day. You know, I want to be able to plan things that, you know, what we touch our circle. We go out on trips with our circle. We actually go on cruises. We actually do, but we can sit down at a table and talk face to face. Hey, how are the kids? You know, hey, look, how's your mom, how's your dad doing? You know, yeah, I know you had that happening. How'd that work out for you? You know, I want that type of circle in my life. And I don't want to get away from that because I believe that a fervent life full of fire has a lot of different aspects to it. You've got a diverse life. You've got a life that keeps you on the cutting edge. But at the same time, you're creating and you're keeping tangibility of what made a relationship a relationship. And in my opinion, a relationship is a relationship because it's based on mutual love, mutual respect. And some of that is lost on social media. And I'm not dogging social media. Like I said, I know it has a spot and I'm cool with it because we build business on social media all day. But I want you guys to understand that if I know you on social media, I look forward to the moment that I could actually meet you in person. If we've been conversing here on social media, we've been actually talking and you've been liking some of my stuff. I've been liking some of your stuff. You didn't get mad at me because I didn't like this or if I didn't like that. You know, you didn't get mad at me because I didn't know that today was, you know, your birthday. And we're just social media friends right now. But until we make that connection to where we can physically look in each other's eyes, you can hear my voice, you know, you see me as a person, I see you. Until we get there, then we can't allow a social media outlet like this or period to drive a wedge between what relationship we have, right? So let's look at this. I was talking about doing a deep dive for those of you that are just joining. I was talking about doing a deep dive in social media, not dogging it, but trying to figure out how you find your place in it, because some of you guys have families that are there with you every day. Some of you guys have relatives that are right in the city that you live in. Some of you have relatives that don't. They don't even get on social media. So how do you do it? How do you maintain those relationships? Do you say, you know, you want, are you not on Facebook? You're not on Instagram? Oh, man, I mean, we can't even talk. It's a great outlet, but what are you planning? What are you planning as a family with them or as friends to get together? It's the tangibility of the fact that I can touch you, I can hug you, I can talk to you face to face. That really intrigues me. Now, some of you are saying, I don't even like people like that. I'm cool with them on social media. And some of y'all, I'm cool with on social media. That's it. Social, just social media, I get it. Some people that pop on here and there, sometimes you look at their lifestyle on social media, I don't want no part of that, right? It's all good, though, because we can just be social media friends. But at the end of the day, how do you survive in all of this? You have to find that out. Once you do that deep dive, some of you are in it every single day. I choose not to be in it. So I want to make this public service announcement, okay? For those of you that are in it every day and you're on this thing like this and you're like, and every second of your day is this, hats off to you. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm the person that believes that just because you don't see it on here doesn't mean it's not happening. I'm the person that believes that I really don't care if you don't think I'm not doing this, this, and this because you didn't see it on here. The people that believe in me and matter to me most are the people that really know me and the people that know what I'm doing. And when you think about your life, really and truly, in any relationship that you have is the fact that that person believes enough in you to know that you're moving, you're building, you're not just moving along, but you're making progress in what you're doing. So, you know, I see people on social media, and this show wasn't originally about social media, but that's a great topic, right? But I see people on social media every day, and they're doing some stuff I call crazy stuff, some things I call great things, and I wanted to start off talking about transformation, right? And we're going to get into that now, but some people doing some great things. Some people I see doing some crazy things. I mean, they're actually getting into cages with wild animals. They're actually doing things. And I'm like, I seen a dude standing there on social media, and he was standing in the window, and he had this bear just walks in the room and stands up beside him and hugs him. And I'm, you know, me, I'm going to take a calculated risk. I'm just not going to, just because you tell me a bear is friendly, I'm going to go over there and let it stand up beside me and hug me. My mind automatically goes to the self-preservation piece. Well, what if the bear is hungry? I don't care if he was in captivity. He eats meat. What if he gets hungry the day he walks in the room with me? I don't want to be the dude that he's trying to hug and all of a sudden he figures out that he's hungry. So I don't want to be that dude. I'll watch you be that dude, but I'm not going to be that dude. I watched two dudes try and untangle these two big deer bucks. I mean, they had full rack of horns, right? And this is what I saw doing my deep dive. It was amazing, sad, and funny all at the same time, right? But so the things that I'm seeing. So this dude did, these two dudes were trying to free these two big bucks, and they were big. They were trying to free them because they were caught up in barbed wire. Their antlers were in barbed wire. And they were together and they couldn't get out. So these dudes were like, let's get the cutters and you grab your horns and I'll cut them free. Well, this is how I rationalize this, guys. I won't be either one of them dudes. But when I think about what my next move would be, I wouldn't even worry about how they got into it. Is, well, let me call animal control and let me get them out here so they can actually get somebody with a tranquilizer and they can tranquilize these two big behind deers, right? Full rack. I ain't talking about no little Bambis, guys. It'll be a little easier to get some little Bambis out, right? But I'm talking about some full-fledged deers, 200 pounds. These guys are huge, right? And I would like trank them up and then we can cut them out. And when they wake up, you're free. But these guys were trying to come out. taking the risk of getting cut up by barbed wire, not even mention getting speared by one of those antlers. But it took 30, 40 minutes, but they did it. Guys, I see stuff like that on social media. I see people having, they're putting their family stuff on social media, and it's so beautiful. When you see that, I love it. It's awesome. But then I see people that are doing stuff on social media just to get the likes. And just to get, I love that. That's a boom. That's awesome. And we start thriving on that. And when you start thriving on that, you forget about the tangibility of God-given love that he gave. The love. I know love is love. Okay? And do what you do. Okay? If this is making you mad, then be the social media person that's in it 24 hours a day. Sit in your house. Do it, man. But for me, I'm just telling you guys how I am because I think it's important. You know? But and some of you are like that too. You're the person on my Facebook Live right now, and you are like, man, I don't want to be engulfed in social media. I want to be a part of what family is doing. I want to be a part of society. I want to know what's going on around me. I want to more so be the people that are around me. I want to make sure that we have a bond together and it's tangible and we can do things physically together, right? So if that's you, man, give me some hearts. Give me some hearts. I'm going to talk about transformation. Take this coffee break, right? Because maybe it's just me. So when I was looking at what this really means as far as transformation is concerned, because I got into the evolution of everything and the evolution of us, of social media, of life in general, the evolution of appreciating. And I thank you guys for the hearts. I'm not the only person out there that believes in the tangibility of a relationship, to being able to touch and hold and feel with somebody. See the tears and cry on somebody's shoulder. I still love that stuff, guys. I do. But I got into that because I was talking about evolution and how things evolve. And social media is a big red bullseye because, you know, everybody's on it. And the people that aren't on it are the people that are afraid of it in so many different facets. But we're evolving so fast. Look at cell phones. Cell phones are evolving so fast. And this is where I want you guys to get this, because here's the meat and potatoes. The rest of it, the first part was just me rambling, right? Appreciate you guys listening. But here's the meat and potatoes of it. These cell phones, they evolve so quickly. It's funny because my kids will get a cell phone, you know, my daughter, my son, and they'll see another cell phone come out. And it's like shiny ball syndrome. I gotta get that. I gotta get that. I'm like, but you just got that one 2 months ago. What's going on? You what's wrong with that? It doesn't work anymore? And they're like, no, Dad, I want this one because it does this, this, and this. But you can still text and do it. And I don't want to be the old school dude, but I'm also not, I don't want to be that dude either that just spends frivolously and doesn't see the value in the things that are right around him, right? I've got an iPad over there that works perfectly fine for me, and I've had it probably 2 years at least, right? Works perfectly fine. I keep it cleaned off. I'm an ex-military guy, so I make sure that my maintenance is done on my stuff, and it serves me well. I've had this MacBook Pro for a minute now. The only thing I've had to get changed on it is the screen. You may not be that person. You may need the newest of everything. I believe that it can be the newest, but I also believe that if it's not new, it needs to just function the way it was intended to function. If it stops functioning the right way, then it's time for me to think about getting rid of it. So I had my iPhone 6, my 6 Plus, for a long time before I got 10, right? And it was like, it wouldn't function right anymore. There were things that would stop moving. I got that 6 when it first came out, so I had it for a long time. I may have had to replace it one time, but it was like for life, right? So that's just me. But anyway, the evolution of what we do, ladies and gentlemen, involves every aspect of our lives, the physical, the mental, the spiritual, you know, the financial. It evolves it all. And I really wanted to get in to talk about transformation this morning because I see so many people in my life that are transforming themselves. And people are just really and truly trying to figure out that transformation is not easy. And I'm telling you, it's not easy. When you decide you're going to transform into something, it's an undertaking. There's a lot of work that goes into it. You have to engulf yourself in the culture. To make cups, you got to be the best cup maker. You want to be the best cup maker in the world, right? You want to be your cups to be the best cups in the world. That was a coffee break. So you want to be, if you want your mouse to be the best mouse in the world, right? So you said that everything that you do, you want it to be the best. So you have to engulf yourself in the culture of what you do. We talked about culture last week on the show. I'm sorry, on Tuesday. We talked about culture and how to create the culture that you want and how to be able to cultivate right in your own area, right? What is it that you're creating? How are you cultivating your own area? So it's the same thing that applies here. You have to engulf yourself in the culture of that thing and try to become a part of that. You take your culture and create a culture inside of that culture until you meet your goals inside of that culture. I'll take a really good example for you guys. If you want to be a doctor, then you have to engulf yourself in that culture. That means you got to study all the books. You got to know all of the body parts. You got to know exactly what makes what work. If this stops working, what stops working? What's attached to what? The knee bone attached to the funny bone. All this stuff, right? So you got to know all of that. So you can't just say, I'm going to sleep. I'll just wing it on that test. And I may pass that. If I pass it with a D, I'm cool. I'm cool. And now you're going to go cut on people and tell people that it's this, this, and this. And you can't do that. You got to engulf yourself in that culture. And it's synonymous of everything that you do if you want to be great at it. I've never heard anybody say, you know what, I think I want to be a football player. But I just want to be a little bit good at it. No, most people I've heard that said they really want to be a football player is their passion. They want to be the best at what they do. I don't care if they're the football, the linebacker, the lineman, the defensive end, the quarterback. It doesn't matter. Whatever they are, they want to be the best at it. So think about transformation and think about how you want to be the best at what you do. What are you going to have to do to be the best at what you do? Because this is stalling some people. Some people are just cool, and they've gotten accustomed. I wouldn't say they're cool, but they want everybody on the outside to think that you're cool with it. But some people have just gotten accustomed to settling for where they are because they so well know that it's going to take a larger sacrifice from them to transform, right? So if you want to be whatever it is that you're trying to be, then you have to engulf yourself in the culture. You have to study it. You have to know it, if you want to be it, right? So let me go with something that is near and dear to my heart. I for well believe in the three centers, right? That's mind, that's body, and that's finance, right? So we got all three. If you're tapping into all three, the spirit, the body, the finance, same thing. When I say mind, body, and finance, got spirit all in it. We're spirit first and foremost, guys. This is just flesh on top of spirit, right? So spirit, body, finance. So if you're tapping into all three, you got to be good. I personally believe that in order for you to be great at what you do, to be great and to be able to thrive in it and to be able to do it relentlessly and healthy, you have to take care of the temple. You have to care about what you put in the temple. You got to care about what you do to the temple, right? So everything in moderation, but the things that you want to transform, they have to be, you have to magnify them, right? So that means, what does that mean? That means for me, I believe that I want my body to be great, to be great. So about a year and a half ago, I stopped eating meat. And I'm giving you guys a lesson in cultivating your own, creating and cultivate, right? So a year and a half ago, I stopped eating meat. And when I stopped eating meat, I realized, okay, I'm stopping, I'm losing some weight. You know, and I'm starting to see all of my muscles. I ain't talking about some of them. I started to see all of my muscles. I lost the last time I stepped on the scale, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if I ever said this publicly. The last time I stepped, I'm about 6'2", and I've always struggled with weight, with keeping it on. So I've always had to turn it into muscle. So that's why I fight so hard, right? But the older I get, it's harder to get the fat off. So I'm gaining fat. So when I stepped on the scale at the pinnacle of my no meat thing, and this works fine for some of you, Pam is working great for it, right? At the pinnacle of my no meat thing, I was 173 pounds. Now I'm 6'2". I was 173 pounds. Now understand that I came from 193 pounds when I stopped eating meat. So I had effectively lost almost 20 pounds, guys. not just from eating meat. That's from me. That's from not eating meat. Now, all of a sudden, my stomach shrinks. I'm telling you guys, if you want to figure out how to lose some weight, start there. Stop eating meat. It works, right? My stomach shrunk. I kind of lost my appetite. And the no not eating meat thing, we never ate red meat like that. But really cutting out chicken and pork and all of that, that's what we did. And we would eat like seafood. Well, I can only eat so much food, so I got kind of tired of that. But then I realized that there's people out there called vegans, and they can eat whatever the flip they want to eat, right? I mean, it can't have dairy in it. It doesn't have man-made stuff in it. You know, it doesn't have the normal sugar in it. It's all natural type stuff. But, man, I see them eating brownies. They're eating all kinds of crap. I'm like, how do they get to eat that? You know, but I struggled with it because I'm like, I thought veganism, and you guys tell me this, I thought veganism was the thing you did and you had to eat, you know, bland foods and things of that nature. And I thought everybody that was a vegan was super thin. But then I started to see people that told me they were vegans and they weren't super thin. They were big people. And I'm like, you were vegan? And I struggled with that until I learned what a vegan was. See, I hadn't engulfed myself into that culture. I wasn't a vegan, but I just didn't eat meat. I had to figure out for myself. I jumped on the scale and I'm at 173. And on the way to the scale, I looked in the mirror and I'm like, I didn't like what I saw. I'm like, man, you can see muscle in your body. Yeah, you got a full six pack now, right? You got a full six pack, but okay, what'd you have to do to get that six pack? I had to literally stop eating meat. So when I did that, I figured out, okay, I got to create a culture inside of this culture, and I don't want to be in this culture this way. So I figured, you know what? I'm going to eat meat again, but I'm not going to eat beef. I'm going to still eat seafood in moderation, but I'm going to put chicken back in my diet. But I decided to put good, clean chicken back in my diet. I ain't talking about fried chicken. I'm not talking about the hips, the thighs, and all of that. I'm talking about good, clean chicken breasts and things of that nature, right? No antibiotics and stuff like that. So I found my culture inside of that culture that helped me thrive. So guys, you know, I went in, you know, and Pam will tell you, I went in. I said, this is not sexy. This ain't working for me. So when I started eating meat again, she'll tell you, I mean, I jumped. Religiously, I jumped on my Tachui. Guys, if you're not on our Tachui for good, solid, lean muscle, then you should be. T-E-C-U-I, yeah, T-E-C-H-U-I. If you're not on that, then man, I'm telling you right now, get on it. I jumped on the regimen of two Tachui, two NRG. Now, the NRG is going to help you burn 300 to 600 calories, up, right? So I'm burning more calories, and I learned that it had, just the other day, I learned that it had something in it called something that helps you lose weight as well. I didn't know that. And Pam, if Pam's hearing me, she may bring me a pack so I can tell you guys exactly what it is. But nonetheless, I found out if I take two of those and I take two NRG and then I go to the gym, I'm teaching you guys how to create a culture inside of the culture for the thing that you want, okay, and how you're going to transform. So if I take two of those and two of the NRG, and then I go and I take that before I go work out, then I go and I grab the culture that I want in, and I say, okay, what are they doing in this culture? What are they doing right here that I need to duplicate? How does it work for me? So I started devising the exercises. Now, I've been a person that I've worked out all my life off and on, right? I've never had I've always had muscle, right? But when I looked at what they were doing, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. That doesn't work for me. I don't like that. I'm too old to be doing that. That's just too much right there. I don't want to be doing the super hit, super intense, jumping from bridge to bridge and all that nonsense. I don't want to do all that. I don't want that kind of life. But I know what works for me and what I wanted. And I didn't want to settle because I felt that I couldn't do something and say that's not what I want. But it was really not what I wanted. So I figured out that this is what I want right here. I want a body that, and then I would tell you, I want a body that can hold up to me doing normal stuff, right? If I want to play basketball with my son or play soccer, whatever, I can do that. If I want to go out and run a mile, I can do that. If I want to go to the weight room and lift some weights and not look stupid in there, I can do that. And I want to, and family, always wanted to buy that I'll have to be afraid to take my shirt off. And I don't want to be the dude that's in the water with his shirt on. I ain't never wanted to be that dude. So I have to talk to those of you that do it, miss them and take your shirt off. I don't feel it. But nonetheless, I never wanted to be that guy. But I'm learning some things. Even at the age of 50, at the tender age, I'm learning some things, right? So I grabbed this culture and I created my culture. I told parents, I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, we're going to hit the gym 5 days a week, all right? Because I know if you want more, you got to do more, right? And I looked at some pictures and some video of me a while back, and I remember I was doing reps of 6% of 225, you know, in the gym. And I'm like, that was me? And I'm like, I need to get back to that. I need to get back to that aspect. So I got relentless with it, because if I wanted to be better than everybody else, if I wanted to be better than everybody else, I'm going to have to do more than everybody else is doing. But if I just want to look like everybody else, then I just do what everybody else is doing. I've never wanted to be average. See, in order to create a culture inside of a culture that makes you great, it takes sacrifice. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take consistency. And when you mix those three together and you get relentless and you get passionate about it because you didn't first see the results at the beginning, it hurts. And guess what? The transformation, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, it hurts the entire time you're transforming. The no gain thing is not just a cliche. It's not just something sexy to say. If you're not struggling, you're not growing. So you know, Pam has this butterfly on her shoulder, right? And it says created for greatness around the butterfly. And when I look at that, when she's in the gym and we're doing stuff, I use that to push her, because we're talking about a butterfly. And I did a show a while back, and a butterfly, we talked about, you know, how a butterfly transformed. It talked about how a butterfly didn't start out a butterfly and then just, you know, all of a sudden grew wings. No, it was a caterpillar, and the caterpillar, of course, created the cocoon. And in the cocoon, some things go on in the cocoon. If you read up on it, I dare you guys to read up on it, okay? What goes on in that cocoon creates the transformation of the butterfly that you see coming out of that cocoon. And it ain't nothing pretty. It is not pretty. It's testing parts of its body. I mean, it's totally transforming. There's a metamorphosis going on to get that. It's going to bless somebody. Quick coffee break. How much time I got? I got time. So it's going to bless somebody. When the cocoon is, and you don't see the cocoon move, you look at it close enough, you'll see it. Every now and then you'll see the cocoon shift, right? And it's the worm in the caterpillar inside of the cocoon, and he is actually ingesting the different body parts to get the, I mean, it's crazy, but to get the nutrients from it to create the legs, to get everything to create the wings, which is the last part that's created. He had to get the foundation first. And once he gets the foundation, he gets the antlers. You know, caterpillars don't have legs like butterflies. They don't have all of that stuff. They're not beautiful when you see a caterpillar. It makes you really want to just step on it, right? But when it gets in that cocoon, it starts to move and it's eating. And it's like, I'm going to take that little part right there. Well, then I'm going to eat that. And before long, you look out and it's starting to bust out of the cocoon. It doesn't bust out of the cocoon until it starts to go through, until it's hurt itself, until it's grown different body. I'm not talking about they were already there, guys. I'm talking about the butterfly grows the body parts. Literally, can you imagine how much pain that is to literally grow another body part? Right? Think about being a baby inside of the womb before you even know what pain is. Before you even understand it, it's just a part of what you do. The transformation happens. And as it happens, you're transforming. There's a metamorphosis that's happening. Here's the part that's going to bless you guys. Some of you are waiting for the pain to stop. And the pain shouldn't stop. The pain is there to remind you that you're doing something worthy. The pain is there to keep you humble. The pain is there so that you never forget what you had to go through to get there. And when you're in the gym, when you're working out, when you're at your house and you're working out and you say that hurts, you should hear me go through your head now and say, it's supposed to hurt. It's supposed to hurt. It's your body's way. That's your natural mechanism that's in your brain that protects you from hurt, from harm. See, the body doesn't differentiate. The mind doesn't differentiate, right? The body's going to do whatever the mind tells it to do. So the mind is like, I got to protect the body. So the body doesn't differentiate between you walking up to the edge of a cliff and jumping off and you in the gym or at your house doing squats. And when you squat down, your legs hurt. It doesn't differentiate. Pain is pain. And it sees the pain. Tells you, ding, 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 ding. Hey, that hurts. Don't do that. I don't know what that's going to do to you, but don't do that. The brain does. But until you learn how to trick the brain, now we're talking about getting into the culture. If you want something, you got to be something. You got to be it before you get it. You got to take the hits, take the pain, right? So if you want it, you're going to have to understand that when I squat and it hurts my butt and it hurts my legs, it's the pain that I'm looking for. You're working for the pain. You're not working for the comfort. You don't want to be in there just chilling. You know, you're not going to be in there just saying, you know what, I can do that. Just give me them 2.5s over there. Yeah, this is good. I'm in the gym. I'm working out. Yeah, you don't want to be the person sitting on your job that's trying to get that promotion. You're doing what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is at lunch, chilling, parlaying. You know, everybody's around everybody else's desk, you know, shooting the breeze. Everybody's doing what everybody does. And if you just do the same thing they're doing, then guess what? You're going to get the same thing they got. See, we don't understand that the transformation is a part of the greatness. In order for you to be great, you got to be willing to take the hits that nobody sees. And it's not for them. It's not. I got to tell you now, me and Pam, this is week three. We've been on this journey of trying to build building the most muscle that we can build, guys. I'm 50, Pam is 49, she'll be 50 next year, right? We're trying to build the most muscle right now that we can build because we understand that the more muscle you build, the more fat you burn. And a lot of people don't want that trading because they walk past the mirror to get to the scale and they never look and linger in the mirror. But they just want to get to that scale. If I can get these numbers to then I'm good. And what you don't understand is that the scale, there's so many different variations to what the scale can tell you. That's why do you think they have BMI scales that tell you BMI, scales that tell you this, you got to put in this, because there's so many different variations day to day that your body is going to go through that can get you to the number you want on the scale, or you can fall short of that. But when you keep walking by that long, tall thing that puts your reflection in it, when you keep walking by that thing every day and you never look in it or you glance in it, because remember we talked about truth earlier, right? The truth hurts. It really does. And I told you guys, I'm never going to tell you what I know. I'm going to tell you what I know, right? And when I was walking by my mirror, this freaking house is full of mirrors. You can't walk in my house without seeing a mirror. So when you're walking through, I'm walking through this house and I'm walking, I'm like, oh no, I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm okay. And you stop and you linger and you really take inventory of where you are. It's when the pain starts. It starts here mentally. First of all, you tell yourself, I don't like that. That's painful. When you can tell yourself, I don't like what I see, it's first of all, and you're being truthful with yourself. And second of all, now you're telling yourself, I got to do something about it. And some of you are saying, I don't even know where to start. And that stops you. Because the start has stopped more people than any other part of the journey. So when you look in the mirror and you're saying, I don't like the way my arms look. I don't like the way my legs. I don't like this is jiggly, that's jiggly. I get this, boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden, the first thing you think about, well, how can I get surgery to fix this? Or how can I do? You know what? Then you tell yourself, don't worry about it. I'm cool. My husband like it. My wife like it. I'm cool. I ain't got to worry about it. And blah, blah. I'm going to drop a bombshell on you guys, and it's gonna piss somebody off. All right? I know it is, but some of you are going to agree. Right? Y'all want me to say this? Should I say this? Tell me if I should say this, if y'all want to hear the truth today. Because I would say I don't want to piss nobody off, but then again, I like what happens in life in general. So give me some hearts if y'all want to hear what I'm going to say. And I'll say it. All right. So the transformation phase of what we do, guys, we're walking into the mirror, seeing it, and actually understanding what it is. It's the tough part, right? So let me tell you this. And my comments are a little slow, guys. I just see some hearts. So if one person wants to hear it, then I'm gonna say it, because if I just get to one person, good. All right. Understand something. Here's the bombshell. Okay. Here's the bond. This truth is going to hurt. It's going to hurt me to say it, but it's the thing that drives me every day, right? A person can love you, but not love what you look like. A person can love you, but not love the things you say. A person can love you, but not love the things that you do. About you, because we always talk about self-love. If you love you the way you look right now, if you're cool, you cool with where you are right now, if you're cool with the way you sound, with the way you talk, with the way you walk, with all of that, if you're cool with that, then there's somebody out there that love that, okay? Find that person. But this thing that I always hear people say, I'm going to love you no matter what. And Pam will attest to this. She'll tell you. My comments go behind, but she'll attest to this. I love my wife. I will kill somebody about my wife. And that's not a threat. Let me just let you guys know. I love my wife. I don't know what I would do without my wife. I love her. She knows I love her. But she knows I'm going to be the first person to tell her when things are getting out of hand. Okay? We got to work on that. That's love in itself. That's why when I go to the gym, I want to go to the gym and I want to work out and I want to create the body, not so people can say, ooh and ah. I want when my wife looks at me, I want her to look at me and say, okay, my man looks good. Okay, then when she goes out and she sees somebody else, okay, that brother's got a nice body too, but my man got a nice body too. You see what I'm saying? That it's all a part of what we do, and it's all a part of our responsibility. So here's the deal. I married Pam, and I tell her about this all the time. I married Pam, and we were probably both together barely over 200 pounds, right? I mean, she was little, I was little. Nobody expects anybody to stay that way all their life, right? Always tolerances. Right. And some people, I'm talking on both ends of the spectrum, guys. I ain't just talking about big people. I'm talking about little people, too, as tolerances for everything. So when I married Pam, she was about 115, 120 pounds. Right. And she married me like 100. And I couldn't have been no more than 150 pounds, something like that. I wasn't big at all. Right. And so now look at me now. I'm gaining weight. She's putting on muscle. She's burning fat. And it's a struggle. I love my wife because she constantly tries. And she loves me because I constantly try. So it's one of those things, man, where you just evolve for one another and you do what you do for one another. So, but the bombshell was a person can love you, but not love how you look. So understand that. Okay. And I'm not saying do what you do for the other person. I'm just talking about me. I do what I do for me because I want to feel good about myself first and foremost. But I ain't going to settle. I'm going to look in that mirror and I'm going to stand. I'm going to turn around. I need to know what parts of my body I need to work on. And that's just what I'm going to do. And that's what I've always done. Right? So guys, the transformation is never easy. I'm going to run out of time. So the transformation is never easy. It's always going to be painful. So stop looking for it not to be painful. When you go to the gym every day and you work out in your house every day, you're on the 30-33 and you're only doing 30 minutes every day and you've been doing that for the last year, that's part of what we do. That's what we do. 30-33 all day long, man. It's what we do. Three products, you got it. But I'm the type of person, I'm always looking for the next wrong grab. I'm always looking for that next thing to grab onto so that I can pull up to the next level, because I never want to be average. So that's why you guys hear me talk about the Chewy in my workout. That's why you hear me talk about that bust off two capsules of chaga in my coffee every morning. That's why you hear me talk about, you know, taking the emu oil, and because I want to be great. I want to be better than anybody else at what I do, and I want to feel good about myself. I don't want to be average. So what are you doing this morning that's going to help your transformation? What are you doing this morning that's going to help you understand that this is going to be painful, mentally and physically? Pam and I are both in pain. I'm telling you, we did a chest workout yesterday. I feel it all up in here. I feel it, all of it. Tricep workout, I feel it. I feel all of it. But if I want the results, guys, I got to put in the work and I got to go through the pain. All right? So I want to read a couple comments before we jump off this thing, guys. I don't know if my computer is going to move, but I got a ton of comments. I don't think I can get through them. But man, I'm going to respond to these when I get off of this thing, because it's got so many comments, guys. It's not moving for me, but it's kind of crazy. But anyway, man, I want to thank you guys for jumping on the grind this morning, man. It's been awesome, man. You know, I don't take it lightly that you guys will hang out with me for almost an hour and listen to me ramble. But hopefully somebody was blessed. Hopefully there was some gaps that were bridged today. And hopefully you guys understand that you need to do what you do to be an inspiration to other people, guys. And remember to always give more than you take and never settle for average, okay? Man, God bless you guys, man. I love you. And we'll see you guys bright and early on Tuesday morning right here on the grind, man. You guys have a great day and go out and help somebody bridge the gap, man.
I'm feeling something different when you left my picture changed. I was blinded, I'd not envisioned the same face in a different frame.
but it really does. So stay the course, keep up with your social media, and hey, things do get better. Just be consistent.